everyone, and welcome back to the Hobo Thinga podcast. My name is Crystal Cedino, and I am the Training and Development Manager for the Native Learning Center. I'm really thrilled that all of you are tuning in for another episode. With me today, I have my right-hand lady, Cora Anthony. Go ahead and say hi, Cora, and introduce yourself.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Cora Anthony, the Training and Development Specialist here at the Native Learning Center.
Thank you. And with us today, we actually have a very special guest, and we're excited to have him here. We've got Phil Glynn, who's president of Travoy. Go ahead and wave, Phil, and tell our listeners hi.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
Good. Awesome. Thank you. And we're going to do a brief introduction just momentarily, but we wanted to let you guys know what we're actually going to be talking about today, which is, I think, going to be very interesting. So today's discussion is going to be the importance of new market tax credit allocations to benefit Indian country. So I know, and Cora knows, we've done numerous webinars, and we've actually done a few podcast episodes a couple years ago with Adam Rose, who we typically work with. So excited to kind of jump into this. So Phil, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners?
Great. My name is Phil Glynn. I'm the president of Travoy. Travoy is a 26-year-old company at this point, and we have worked with tribes across the country, native communities really, because our mission includes working not only in Indian country, but also in Alaska Native and Native Hawaiian communities. And our clients have built over $1.5 billion worth of critical community assets. About 70% of that has been affordable housing, and the other 30% has been economic development of various kinds, meaning everything from grocery stores to hospitals to infrastructure projects. We're headquartered in Kansas City, Missouri. We're a mission-driven, family-owned company. We're a certified B Corporation, and we're excited about all of the great things that our clients have achieved over the years, and really just excited to tell you and your listeners and viewers more about all of the amazing things that our clients are going to be accomplishing in the future years. And who knows, maybe there's somebody out there even watching who might be a current or future client. So really excited to talk about a really important topic.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here with us today. All right. So with that, why don't you tell us more about, you know, new market tax credits and how, you know, they can be a financial resource and benefit for, you know, tribes, communities, and economic development efforts.
That's sure. A mouthful. Yeah, it is. It's new markets tax credits is a funding tool. So we'll get into some things during our conversation today that will be a little bit complicated, but I would just encourage anyone who's listening or watching just to zoom way out and think about this as one of several different tools that you can use to fund a community project. Now, that might be a business project in the formal sense of the word, like a new grocery store. But this can also mean a community development project. So these types of projects, our clients have built things like healthcare centers, they've built workforce development training centers, business incubators, and even things that you can't see every day walking around, like infrastructure or high-speed internet delivery infrastructure. So those are the things that are possible to do with new markets tax credits. Now, how do they work? Every year, a subset of the U.S. Treasury Department, that's called the Community Development Financial Institutions Fund, allocates new markets tax credits, not to these projects, not to the grocery stores and to the tribal administration buildings, et cetera, but they allocate them to intermediary organizations that are called community development entities, or CDEs. Travoy is a CDE. There are hundreds of other CDEs around the country with hundreds of different missions. We happen to be one of the few that focuses exclusively on working in Indian country. So the idea behind new markets tax credits is the CDFI fund allocates new markets tax credits to CDEs. Those CDEs then, for lack of a better term, sell those tax credits to investors that need tax breaks. And that money then flows to projects that need money to build buildings, to install infrastructure, to refinance previous debt that might have been unaffordable. So the idea is to support economic development in areas that are low-income communities and that cannot on projects that cannot access traditional bank loans. This is not a program that's just for Indian country. This is a program that's for low-income communities nationwide. So you'll see new markets tax credits activity in low-income neighborhoods of big cities. You'll see it in small towns that might have experienced an out-migration of people, like the loss of population due to the closure of a mill or a factory or something like that. So it requires that CDEs have strategies that are really closely tailored to the needs of the communities where they work. So each CDE has to have a service area and has to be able to demonstrate to the CDFI fund and then to the community of people that need funding for projects that it is tailored its strategy to meet the needs that are that exist in those service areas. And as we'll discuss more in today's conversation, you know, we all know what the barriers are to economic development in Indian country. We know the inability to use trust land as collateral for a traditional loan. We know the lack of familiarity among mainstream financial institutions with tribes, tribal law, tribal government, the right way to do business in Indian country. Because those financial resources are lacking because of these structural barriers, that's why we need new markets tax credits to be flowing to Indian country in as large a number as possible, because we have all these great projects that we know can be successful, but are sometimes they stay stuck on the drawing board because there isn't funding that's tailored to overcome these challenges that are just inherent to doing economic development on tribal land.
I was actually, it's funny you say that, because I was actually having this conversation with our marketing coordinator yesterday, where I was like, oh, how cool would it be to create like basically like a community for low income, you know what I mean, families and so on and so forth. And it's like a community that's like safe and so on and so forth. And we were talking about, well, where are you going to get the money to do that? And I'm like, I don't know. this is cool. I was like, an angel investor? I don't know. And he's like, well, that's, you know, that's part of the issue. And it's true. Now that, you know what I mean, now that you're bringing this up, it's like, oh, okay. So it is definitely possible. It's just, you know, you have to kind of like navigate through it and so on and so forth.
Sure. And there will always be things that you really need to have a successful community like that, that grants won't pay for, or that tribal funds won't pay for. There are these projects that fall in a gray area between things that are seen as straightforward governmental programs that the tribal government ought to be funding with federal or other sources of dollars, like roads, for example. It's kind of an obvious one, right? And then you have projects that are pure financial economic development strategic things that a tribe does in order to generate revenue and create jobs. That would be like gaming, for example, and hospitality. But there's this huge range of opportunities that are kind of in between those two things that have a public and a private character. And that's really what we found. That's what our clients have told us they want to use new markets tax credits for. It's those things that are good ideas, but that fall through the gaps of these, that these other funding programs were not designed to support, you know?
No, for sure. Yeah,
cool. So now I'm curious, because you speak about the work that Travoy does and whatnot. Are there other CDEs that work to focus to help Indian country and whatnot?
Yes, there are, like I said, several hundred certified CDEs. Each of those CDEs has its own, must have a primary mission of serving low-income communities. That's the one thing that we all have in common. But then after that, it really changes drastically. I mean, you have CDEs that will focus on kind of small town, rural America, CDEs that will focus on college, university towns, or CDEs that will focus only on healthcare. Literally, like any community development focus you can imagine, there's probably a CDE that's doing it. There are a small handful of CDEs whose primary mission is only to serve Indian country. Travoy is one of those. The Chickasaw Nation CDE has applied and successfully received new markets tax credit allocations in the past. Native American Bank has formed a CDE and is applying for new markets tax credit allocations. The Citizen Potawatomi Community Development Corporation, which is a native CDFI with a very long and impressive history of serving, of meeting the credit needs of Indian-owned businesses and Native American-serving projects. And there may well be others. There's no like public list that says, hey, here's all the CDs that want to focus on Indian country. So there may be others, and there may be names I'm leaving off unintentionally. Those are the small handful that say to the CDFI fund every year, we want to get a new markets tax credit allocation, and we will commit to you exclusively that all of it is going to Indian country. And then there are others for whom Indian country is an important part of their mission, but not everything that they do. An example of that would be Alaska Growth Capital, which is a great organization based in Alaska that is owned by an Alaska Native corporation. And just because of where they are and who they are, obviously they're going to focus a lot of their activities on serving the indigenous people of Alaska. And then after that, this is where it gets a lot harder, because sometimes for two cycles in a row, the CDFI fund will decide not to allocate to any CDE that does have a primary mission of serving Indian country. And we at Travoy, and I know that we're not alone, I don't want to speak for any other organization specifically, but I would be surprised if we were the only ones that were unhappy about that. We think that groups that have built up the internal competence and built systems that are designed to serve and work with tribes are going to be able to do these projects with lower transaction costs, a better cultural fit, and make them happen more quickly and more easily and with a lot less political friction than groups that have not invested the time in learning how to work in that market. Not because they're not good groups or because they didn't want to, but because they have other focus areas. They have other things they have broader missions that go beyond just focusing on Indian country. That's a long way of saying there's this third category of CDs for whom Indian country might be a very small part of their mission or might be something they would be willing to do one or two projects over the course of 3 or 4 years in that market. And so that is where, when Travelway does not have our own New Markets Tax Credit allocation, we act as a consultant and we go find other CDs like that and we bring them to Indian country projects and we say, these are the strongest, safest projects that you can possibly find to invest in that are run by, you know, the best, most competent people and that are really changing lives in communities where the resources are desperately needed. And so sometimes while we're unhappy that the allocations aren't made to groups that focus exclusively on Indian country, we still believe that that story is true and that we should be spreading it as far and as wide as possible. Because at the end of the day, the goal is to get as much allocation to the healthcare centers and grocery stores and daycare centers and all the great projects that we know that are out there that need it.
Absolutely. So since we are on the topic of allocations, can you talk about previous year's allocations as well as, how New Market Tax Credits from the Treasury Department and the types of Indian country projects that have, you know, used this kind of like benefit and so on and so forth? And has Travelway submitted an application in 2022?
Yes. So I can answer all those questions. And I'd encourage anyone out there that might find this episode and watch it online, if I get any of these numbers or dates wrong, pglynn@travelway.com, definitely reach out to me and set me straight if I get any of this wrong, because I do want to make sure that there's really good, accurate information out there about the status of the New Markets Tax Credit Program in Indian Country. But I think I should get it pretty close. I was looking these numbers up this morning just to make sure. So New Markets Tax Credits has been around since 2000. It was created as part of a law that was one of the last acts of the Clinton administration, actually. And so Travelway did not get involved in New Markets Tax Credits until several years later. We formed our CDE in 2006. So my knowledge of the history of the program kind of starts with us. There had been at least one organization that came before Travelway called the National Tribal Development Association that focused on Montana and Louisiana, serving tribal communities in those two places. That organization, as far as I know, is not active anymore. Anyway, since we started doing this in 2006, Travelway has received and deployed 4 New Markets Tax Credit allocations. The Chickasaw Nation CDE has received and deployed 2 allocations. Alaska Growth Capital has received allocations, and much of that capital has gone to Alaska Native communities. There are groups in Hawaii that have received allocations, and a significant amount of that capital has gone to Hawaiian homelands and Native Hawaiian serving organizations. But there have been years, most of the time there's only been a 1-year lag, but there have been several periods, unfortunately, where there have gone 2 rounds in a row without allocating to anyone that serves Indian country. Okay. Another trend to keep in mind is an allocation. The allocation amounts have gotten, the amount of tax credits to be made available to CDEs has gotten larger. This program used to be $3.5 billion a year. Currently, it's a $5 billion program. So the amount of allocation has increased in recognition of the economic needs around the country increasing. As a result, more CDEs are applying for New Markets Tax Credit allocations than before, making the program more competitive and really, really driving CDEs to really sharpen their pencil and have very specific missions and to have very specific community outcomes that they measure. So applying for a New Markets Tax Credit allocation is telling a 2-part story. Number one, here are all the great things that our organization has done in the past. Here's how we can show you that we have a demonstrated track record of financing projects or doing affordable housing work in Indian country, for example. That's the story that we tell about our past. And these things that we are showing you in this application that we want to do in the next few years, they're a natural extension of that historical track record. And when we finance these projects, if you give us a New Markets Tax Credit allocation, certain community outcomes will result from that. So now to answer your other question, has Travelway applied for a New Markets Tax Credit allocation? Yes. We submitted an allocation application not too long ago, and the awards resulting from that application will be made in the fall of this year. That's the The CDF 500 has not put out any more specific date than that. If you look on the website, it just says fall 2022. So for some people, fall is September. For some people, fall is November. Who knows? We'll find out. And they'll probably refine their messaging about the time frame a little bit as the year goes on and they digest the number of applications they have, et cetera. Our allocation application that we just submitted is totally focused on community facility projects in Indian Country. We would like to primarily focus on childcare, affordable housing, and healthcare. We think those are the most impactful projects in Indian Country because they meet specific needs, and especially with respect to healthcare, they create really high quality jobs in addition to generating revenue that supports the other services that the tribe provides. So that's what our allocation application is all about this year. We applied for a total of $50 million worth of New Markets Tax Credit allocation. $50 million would mean, you know, that we could do $5, $10 million projects, basically. And that's about the average size of the project dollar amounts that we've done since we've been involved in New Markets Tax Credits. I think that average is maybe more like 11. But that's what you'll typically see in these New Markets Tax Credit deals as projects with total development costs of between $10 and $20 million.
That's amazing. I had a question that popped in my head, and of course, now it's gone.
Yeah. I have a question because it's like,
yeah, go ahead, Cora.
This is a lot of money, and like you said, it's very competitive. So, what is that application process like?
Yeah, that's basically what I was going to ask. Like, so you have to outline what you're going to do and so on and so forth, kind of like what we do. We submit an IHP, so an Indian Housing Project, and then you know, that outlines everything that we plan on doing in our fiscal year. So is that kind of like the same process?
Yes, it would look familiar to anyone who has done a lot of grant writing.
Okay.
It's a mix of numbers and stories. So there's specific information you're providing that requires a lot of research where you're going back to the history of your own organization and you're getting exact funding amounts from exact years and describing exactly what those were funded for. But I think one difference that anyone whose job out there has been to apply for a ton of grants on behalf of their tribe and is thinking about the idea of maybe applying for New Markets Tax Credits is that I would say there's more ambiguity in this application probably than what you're used to if you're in that type of a situation. Because when we apply for an allocation of New Markets Tax Credits, we provide specific project examples from our pipeline. We featured four projects in this application, which are things that we believe will happen in 2022 and 2023 that have clear financing gaps that need the money in order to be able to move forward. If we are successful in getting an allocation, however, we will not necessarily be required to fund those exact projects. So unlike a low-income housing tax credit application, where you're presenting a specific project and you're providing a ton of detail about that specific development, here, we're not really applying for allocations on behalf of projects. We're applying for an allocation on behalf of Travoy, just as Native American Bank is applying for one on behalf of them, or Citizen Potawatomi CDC, or whomever else. And that means that we're presenting like a very detailed sketch of what we would do if we got the allocations. And that gives us the flexibility to choose other projects should one of the projects in our pipeline choose not to move forward, or as part of our underwriting, we're to determine that it's not ready to move forward, or if our board were not to approve it. We have an advisory board of people who come from outside of Travoy, who are trusted, experienced, really knowledgeable Native people from across Indian Country and like a really diverse set of different professions. And they vote yes or no, up or down on each of our projects. So there's always the chance that a project could, you know, move forward and not happen for that reason also. So I would say that's a lot of work. It's a long application. There's a lot of technical research on what you've done in the past, and then you have to make really specific projections about what the impacts will be of the project pipeline you're proposing. But I would say one difference is that you're not really proposing. You're proposing projects that are meant to illustrate what you would do if you got an allocation, not a discrete list of things that says, if you give us an award, this is what we're going to do with 100% certainty. We've definitely had experiences in the past where we have applied and then done the projects that were in our application, but we also have flexibility.
Understandable, yeah, because definitely like with our grant we have to and specifically where it comes from, we have to stay very focused in that, you know what I mean, particular field. So I don't want to say it makes it hard, but it's definitely a little bit more challenging to try and figure out, like, for our mission to create trainings and stuff like that that fit within, you know, those certain guidelines and so on and so forth. But with that being said, can New Market Tax Credits be the primary funding source? And, you know, what advice do you have for groups trying to leverage, you know, new market tax credits?
New markets tax credits can never fund 100% of what your project needs. New markets tax credits is a leveraging tool. A typical new markets tax credit transaction will have 20% of the project being funded with new markets tax credit dollars. This is investment that does not need to be paid back. It's a loan or equity investment for a period of 7 years. And as long as the project maintains compliance, that loan or equity investment, it goes away. It's not a grant in the formal sense of the word, but it is, it goes from being a loan to a grant, essentially, as long as the project meets its community impact goals and maintains compliance with the program rules. The other 80% obviously has to come from somewhere else, and it can be a wide range of things. So Travoy has done projects where that loan has come from a bank. Native American Bank, for example, is a institution that we've worked with many times. We have had great experiences working with them. We're big supporters of and believers in the mission of Native American Bank and are really excited to see what the current management team and current business development group at the bank is doing. We think they're working on a lot of really interesting and important things. They're great partners of Travoy. So whenever the subject of new markets tax credits and how the deals come together comes up, I always want to make sure and make sure we're recognizing Native American Bank for the great work that they're doing. We're talking about where that other 80% comes from. So a loan from a bank would be one example. The tribe can put its own money into this project. We've definitely had projects in the past where the tribe has said, hey, we've been, for example, healthcare centers. We have been pooling grant dollars and we have been pooling the retained earnings, basically the revenue that we earn from operating this healthcare center. And instead of putting that into other services the tribe provides, we've basically been funding an account. And as that account builds up, we want to use it to build a new health center or add on to the health center. So we've had situations where the other 80% has just been a check that the tribe has written that's come from sources like that. Not all grants can be used with new markets tax credits, but many can. So we also see that other 80% coming from grants sometimes. As you who are specialists in seeking funding and training people on how to seek funding, as all of us know, the three very clean, simple, nice, neat scenarios that I just laid out are never how reality works. So most of the time, this other 80% that we're talking about comes from all three different sources. We've had several projects in which there's a little bit of a loan from a bank. Well, I shouldn't say a little bit. We're still talking about multi-million dollar transactions here, but you know, a percentage of less than 50% comes from a bank. You know, we're usually seeing about a third from a bank, about a third from the tribe, and about one third from some other external grant source.
Gotcha. It's crazy to me when I hear the amount of money that people are applying for. And it makes sense why these grants are so competitive. We want to make sure that it's allocated properly and to benefit these communities. So I guess that brings me to my next question. Have there been new market tax credit allocations that are benefiting tribes specifically?
Yes. The new markets tax credit program has done a lot of good in Indian Country, and a lot of the money has gone to projects that are owned and totally controlled and run by tribes. So certain tribes have applied for allocations of new markets tax credits as CDEs, Chickasaw Nation being one example. But that was not a strategy to provide funding for Chickasaw Nation projects. That was the Chickasaw Nation acting as a funding resource for other tribes. So I just wanted to say that, number one, to recognize all the great work CNCDE has done, but also just to make a distinction in people's minds. If your goal, if you're watching this podcast because it's your job to find money for a project, then you probably do not want to become a CDE and try to get a new markets tax credit allocation. What you want to do is you want to find a CDE or more than one CDE that is in the business of applying for new markets tax credit allocations and get that CDE like Travoy interested in your project. Because the goal is for the actual tribally owned projects to end up with the money. And that's probably more likely what your viewers and listeners are interested in than in how to get allocations of their own to go fund their projects or other projects. And if I'm wrong, we can talk about that other category also. But assuming that most people are listening because it's their job to find money to build a new health center or to do a rehab of an existing building, to turn an old daycare center into a business incubator or whatever the project that's got, you know, costs of, you know, $4 million or more that you have to tackle. Being a qualified active low income community business, QALICB, is the role of the project. And the QualicB, which is the clumsy way of saying that acronym, receives New Markets Tax Credit funding from the CDE, which is the Travois Native American Bank, et cetera, entity. So that's a lot of setup to finally answer your question, which is that tribes have done amazing things using this program. The Confederated Tribes of the Colville Reservation just recently used this to construct a substance use disorder treatment center that's going to serve tribal members, that's going to be based on, it's going to be located on the reservation in a beautiful, quiet, kind of secluded area that has really, that was chosen very intentionally to be a place for contemplation and a place for rest and a place for recovery. The programs that will be delivered at the facility are designed by Indigenous people with Indigenous clients in mind, knowing that the substance use treatment and recovery journey is different for all people and that it is a cultural thing. So the types of programs that you provide in Spokane are not the same types of programs that you provide on the Colville Reservation. And they've had the experience of seeing their own people go through programs at other facilities outside the community, not have the kind of success that they and their families want to have. And they are on the, you know, they're on the cycle that just a lot of people who are living with addiction are unfortunately on. It's a really painful cycle. So the idea is to do this at home, in the community, in an environment, and in a setting that was designed by tribal people with tribal clients in mind. And I could talk about that project all day because it's so recent, it's so excellent, and the tribe has such a high capacity to pull off these large-scale construction projects. But that's just one example of many. Other great projects that we've seen are infrastructure projects, for example. You've probably, if you haven't been there, you've probably heard of Ho-Chunk Village, which is a master plan community development project that's been done by Ho-Chunk Inc., which is the economic development arm of the Winnebago Tribe of Nebraska. They have used New Markets Tax Credits at various stages of the build out of the village. They had a master plan community, and the strategy was basically, as we find a funding resource that matches a thing we want to build, we plug in that part of the master plan. Well, that community has now grown from its original 40 acres to a new 40 acres. They just use New Markets Tax Credits to lay the infrastructure, to literally lay the groundwork for that community to continue to grow. For people who already live on the reservation who want to own a home or rent a nice place, they can go there. For people who have moved away for other opportunities that the Winnebago tribe wants to get to move home, there's going to be an opportunity for those families as well to have a beautiful place to live and be able to work at one of the many great companies that are part of the HCI portfolio. I mean, I literally could go on all day, so I'm not sure how much you want me to go on, but I would say we're seeing a lot of tribes investing heavily in their healthcare and their community development, community services systems. We're probably seeing more projects that are in the behavioral health, healthcare, education space than we are in what we might have thought of as more economic, the way that we might have used the term economic development in the past really to only mean hotels, grocery stores, travel plazas, construction companies, projects like that, where a lot of tribes are real strong already. We're seeing now more of a trend toward tribes saying, we believe that we can't have a strong economy without healthy people. And we believe that we want to rebuild our economic base by rebuilding the skills of individual people. And I think that's a really interesting change in strategy. I think it's really timely. We really agree with tribes that are taking that. I mean, everyone's going to design their own strategy to meet their geography, their economy, et cetera. And it's not Travois' job to say what each, you know, community should be doing, but it's definitely our job to have an opinion about what the right strategy is. And right now, what we're hearing from our clients is that we want to rebuild these systems that are meant to really build up people and to stabilize families. And then we think we can use that as the platform to go out and seek more economic development opportunities. And so we're following their lead, and we're seeing life-changing projects. You know what I mean? Projects that really are designed to not just kind of maintain and kind of help people hold it together from a, whether it's behavioral health or a physical health standpoint, but to try to do behavioral health and healthcare in a way that's restorative and in a way that's designed with a specific patient population that we're talking about in mind. Also, these healthcare projects can be such great revenue generators, such great businesses for tribes, because if you're a rural Native American community, you might be surrounded on all sides by non-Indian towns, for lack of a better term, that are whose populations are aging, and whose populations are shrinking, and who are seeing an outflow of investment. And the Native community in that region is often the real beating heart economically. It's got and I'm generalizing here, this isn't true of every place, but what a lot of data shows that you've got bigger families, younger families. You might have some asset that's already kind of pulling in traffic and foot traffic, like a gaming or a tourism development that's bringing people onto the reservation. And if you as a tribe want to say, hey, I want to address the health disparities in my community by building a new community health center that provides excellent services that are better than what my tribal members can currently get, well, you can approach a healthcare project as a project that will help meet those services needs, but you're probably at the same time also building the biggest, nicest, newest federally qualified health center in the region as well, that can then see non-Indian patients and use the reimbursements from their private insurance or their Medicare or Medicaid as revenue that the facility earns. And so now all of a sudden you're not just doing something that is meant to address the health disparities in your community, but you're running a really successful business that has the has the power to generate a lot of revenue that can be redeployed into other healthcare activities, or can be revenue that the tribe uses to support all of the governmental services that it has to provide. So I took you on a long detour there and I kind of forgot what the question was, but I guess my point is it's our job to follow the lead of what our clients say they want. The whole reason that our company is called Travoy is that's what a Travoy was. It was a tool that people used to get from one place to another. You know, it's not the Travoy is not the tool you use to set the direction. It's the tool that you use to keep these important things safe for that journey once that decision has been made. And we want to be really disciplined about sticking to that mission and living up to it. That's why we have an advisory board. And that's why we have an annual conference to listen to our clients, because it's not up to us to decide what the economic development strategies should be to address these needs that we all know exist. It's our job to listen and to identify leaders in communities that have a really good idea, and B, the capacity to get their fellow community members on board and rally them behind that vision. Once that process has taken place and the only thing that's missing is money, that's when we come into the picture. And so when we come into the picture, healthcare, community services, early childhood education, projects that are built around sobriety and recovery, these are the things that we're seeing that our clients are excited about, and that's why we're excited about them.
No, that's great. And I think as far as the trend goes for these healthcare facilities, I could be totally wrong, but I feel like I've been with the NLC for like 5 years now, and I've been working with Adam, who's the Director of Partnerships and Growth of Troy now. One thing I feel like I've noticed is ever since COVID, it had such a huge impact on everyone, and very much so on Indian country, not having those resources to keep their elders or, just community members, healthy and unfortunately alive. We did see quite a toll on, death and so on and so forth as COVID, as long as we're talking about that. But I don't know. I feel like that trend kind of definitely just took off since COVID. And like I said, I could be wrong, but that's my opinion on that.
I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I think number one, there just are more resources available to start thinking about projects and planning projects due to the biggest one-time federal investment in Indian country ever. So, you have both been in these kinds of meetings. I mean, that's when the whiteboard comes out and you start really thinking, oh my gosh, what are all the things that we've talked about doing for the last 10 years, but have never even thought about it because they were just going to be so expensive. And right. So I think that has given people despite the fact that everyone's just living through a lot of pain and a lot of trauma, and so many people have lost relatives, people who I talk to, and this isn't everybody, it seems like that the first phase was just dealing with the shock and dealing with all that pain. But then I think the recognition of the opportunities that are out there has caused a lot of people to start having big conversations about the future. And I also think that we've all seen the importance of our mental and behavioral health and what our day-to-day life habits, how much those things really do affect our ability to do our jobs. And that you really can't separate your health as a person from your success as a professional. And so I think that's another thing that's really caused people to, I just have to think that that's also driving the trend that we're seeing towards the types of projects that we are seeing, is there's just a real focus on investing in people. That if you have a community that, economic development conversations can be about smokestacks and machines and turbines and, cranes and all of the things that we see that are signs of economic development, that are like the symbols of economic development that make us, see that, okay, something positive and exciting is happening in a community. But those are really just like the side effect. Those are the reflection of what is really driving the economic development, which is people and their ideas and their ability to work and do really difficult jobs, and take care of themselves and be able to be emotionally healthy and present when they're doing, I mean, because these things we're talking about, I'm just rattling them off like they're all kind of the same, but I mean, early childhood education is an incredibly difficult, tiring job. I think it'd be really inspiring. I was raised by an early childhood educator, you know, and it was inspiring work for her, but I can't imagine a more difficult job. And then I think about people who work in healthcare facilities, and I say it again, oh, I can't imagine a more difficult job. You see someone whose whole job is to design and manage, you know, the programs at a substance use disorder recovery facility. I mean, you think about every individual, just the how much hard work it is, recovery is for each individual person. And then there's a whole community of providers who are around them who are helping them, support them, and make that happen. So yeah, I mean, I think the projects that we're seeing definitely have, they come clearly out of this trend that's been created by COVID, but COVID has been the thing that's just brought into stark relief what I think everyone has kind of known what the needs are for a long time.
Absolutely. 100%. Couldn't have said that better. For sure. All right. Well, I mean, we've talked about a bunch of different projects and so on and so forth and how they can, you know, benefit Indian country and so on and so forth. Let's talk about some of the challenges, you know, that are involved with, you know, new market tax credits and just, you know, all the things that, you know, are needed and so on and so forth.
The number one challenge is that the CDFI fund is not allocating enough new markets tax credits to CDEs whose primary mission is to serve Indian country. I believe that that's a fact. And I think the CDFI fund is an organization that's got a lot of really good people working at it who work really hard. I think they are trying to operate a program that is scored objectively and that is it's balancing the needs of a lot of different stakeholder groups around the whole country. So I don't want to pretend like their job is easy, but as a matter of fact, I do not believe that enough tax credits are flowing to Indian country. I think the more efficient way to get those tax credits to flow to Indian country is through CDEs whose primary mission is to serve Indian country, especially since we know we have groups that have the demonstrated track record of being able to do it. Groups like Travoy, groups like Native American Bank, and like I said, others that I may not even know who are in the applicant pool. So I think that's the number one problem with the program from my point of view and the point of view of my customers. Now, there are other challenges that really don't have anything to do with the allocation process, but are things that people will probably want to be aware of if they're going to go after this as a funding resource for something that they want to build on the reservation or something that's part of the community's economic development strategy. Number one is just the legal complexity of putting together these transactions. Doing a new markets tax credit transaction is hard for some organizations because it's not a grant that the tribe receives in its capacity as a tribal governmental entity, as a sovereign nation. These tax credits have to flow to business or economic development entities. So right off the bat, this can be a challenge for tribes that choose to do their economic development under the umbrella of the tribe itself and not through the formation of economic development corporations like Ho-Chunk Inc. or Mille Lacs Corporate Ventures or other groups around Indian country that have already created that dual government and business structure where the two things are, where you have, you know, obviously governmental and political oversight of your economic development activities, but you have created separate legal entities or separate reporting structures that are where economic development and business development is different from education, public safety, things that are like more core governmental services. So for groups that don't have that as part of their, for tribes that don't already have that as part of their operations, sometimes the creation of these separate entities can be a challenge. What you want to do there, I mean, what I always advise people is, you know, start with what works for you as a tribe, start with what you think your voters would say, okay, seems like a prudent move. And so I think if you're going to create entities that are separate from your tribal government in order to pursue new markets tax credits, what we've seen tribes do is just make sure that the members of that board of directors of that new entity are always tribal council members, for example, so that you can have a direct connection between the voter who says, I want to see positive development happen in my community, to the decision maker that's maybe choosing to use new markets tax credits to build healthcare facilities, so that that voter can see a direct connection. Okay, that person is connected to the person I voted for, and they're giving me the thing that I said that I wanted when I cast my ballot or when I went to a community meeting to make my voice heard. So structuring these legal entities can be a challenge. We've seen tribes across the country overcome this challenge and come up with corporate structures that are safe, that are easy to understand, easy to explain. So that's a challenge. Another big challenge is finding the other 80% that we talked about. So new markets tax credit funding is only about 20% of your project's budget. So the question of where the other 80% comes from is a big challenge. One of the challenges we face is that the Bureau of Indian Affairs Loan Guarantee Program, the BIA Loan Guarantee Program, and new markets tax credits don't really fit well together right now. So that's something that we've tried to overcome by doing some policy advocacy, but I have to just kind of admit and report that we have not been able to get the changes necessary that would be necessary to make in order for those two programs to work together. We have seen the USDA Loan Guarantee Program and new markets tax credits work together really well, which is another area where I need to give some credit to Native American Bank because they've done a good job of creating the structure that can work, that can bring those two programs together. So leveraging and pulling different sources of funding together is also a big challenge in these projects. So I would say, number one, from an advocacy standpoint, if tribes want to say things to their representatives that will benefit everyone who's tried to do this, we need to see more allocations to CDEs with a primary mission of serving Indian country. And then I think once tribes look more inwardly and say, okay, what are the challenges that we'll have to overcome as an organization? They're really all just about communication. These are just things that need to be hashed out in open public meetings so that anyone who wants to show up and have an opinion about it, you know, can be made to easily understand and easily explain, okay, we're going to form an entity to build this new health center that is not the tribal government itself, but here we can show you, tribal member, citizen, voter, that this organization is under the control of the individual people that you did vote into office. And then once you've created an environment where there's a little bit of trust among everybody that the entities that will be created will not be putting the tribe at undue risk, then really the hard part is just finding that other 80%, you know? And so I think that the very large amounts of federal funding that are out there are possible sources. Increased lending from native CDFIs and tribally controlled banks is another great place for people to look. And any internal resources or savings that a tribe has been building up over the years that can be devoted to economic development, you can use that as a leveraging tool as well. A lot of great grant writers out there in Indian country, a lot of really good financial advisors, people who help tribes figure out where that other 80% is going to come from. So if you have an advisor that you've been working with for a long time, trust that person. Either call us or tell them to call us and we'll help walk you through the process.
Thank you for that. I appreciate your very thorough answer, because often when we speak of challenges, we stay there, but you kind of just easily transitioned into, this is the challenge, but this is how we're going to fix it. Like, game plan, ready to go. Like, it makes me want to, like, okay, let's do this project together.
Yeah. That's just the habit that we've built up over the years. Cause I mean, there's always so many people that are going to tell you no. And there's always so many, there's plenty of people out there to tell everyone how hard everything is, but you know, we've seen people overcome these challenges and do such incredible things. And we've seen people just, I think, prove a lot of naysayers very, very wrong by doing it. You know what I mean? There are groups that don't work in Indian country who would be very surprised to find out that, okay, the board of directors of this large multi-million dollar economic development project includes high school teacher, a law enforcement officer, includes someone who owns a small construction company. And, you know, if you compare that to maybe some of the groups that are behind these bigger development projects in bigger cities, you might say, well, you know, those people aren't real estate types or they aren't business people. So how do they pull this off? And I think it's really only people that are working in Indian country or living in Indian country who that makes sense to sometimes, because we all already know, like, yeah, well, those are the community leaders. Those are the people who are serving on council. Those are the people who are trusted. And so that's why they're in those positions.
I absolutely love it, because it was like an effortless transition into, we got a situation, but this is how I'm going to fix it.
Yeah.
No, thank you for that. So I do have a question for you personally. What are you hoping to see with allocations in this current round? And why do you think it's so important?
I obviously hope that Travel New Markets LLC, which is our CDE, I hope that we receive an allocation, because the projects that we listed in our application are ready to move forward and have clear financing gaps, and they will have deep lasting community impacts. And so I want us to get an allocation. What I really want to see beyond that, because obviously I want to see my own organization be successful, is we really just want to see a pattern start where at least one or two CDEs who have this primary mission of serving Indian country are getting allocations every year. Obviously we want Triboy to be one of those entities, but I look at the applicant pool and I just don't believe that there's a scenario in which an organization, organizations like Native American Bank, for example, are not demonstrating capacity to get allocations because I believe that they are. Obviously, I haven't read their application, and obviously, I can't have a specific opinion on somebody else's business. But I just, being in the in community-based economic development in Indian country for as long as I have, and seeing the Native CDFIs out there that are so strong, like Native American Bank and CPCDC, and then not seeing them on the list of groups that are getting allocations, makes me scratch my head. So we want to see multiple, I believe there is sufficient demand in Indian country for two CDEs to get large allocations focused exclusively on Indian country. I don't believe that if the CDFI fund made that decision, that any of that money would be sitting there 2 years later, unable to find projects. I think all of us would be oversubscribed. So we want to see more allocations to groups that are focused on Indian country, is the short answer.
So while we're talking about funding, is the issue that they're afraid if they were to allocate, you know what I mean, a large sum amount specifically to Indian country, that it wouldn't get utilized? I mean, is that the fear or the, you know?
The CDFI fund has not made public statements saying, here's why we have not allocated to groups with CDEs with a primary mission of serving Indian country for these years. What they tend to say is that the program is very competitive, that the applications are objectively scored, those scores are not shared with the public. And there is the CDFI fund's response has been that there needs to be more capacity building so that tribally controlled CDEs can prepare applications that can win. I have a little bit of a difficult time accepting that answer because I think that organizations across Indian country have clearly demonstrated their capacity to do economic development financing in communities and to do it more efficiently and more effectively than groups from the outside can. So I, again, want to stress that, you know, I know people who work at the CDFI fund. I've been interacting with people who work at the CDFI fund for most of my career now, and I know that they do take their jobs very seriously and they take their process very seriously. And that, again, the needs of Indian country is not the only stakeholder group that they need to balance. I get all that. But it's also part of my responsibility as someone who wants to see as much financing flow to Indian country as possible to say that I don't believe that the system is currently working like it should. And so I think that we have really good people who are on the CDFI Fund's Community Advisory Board, people who have a lot of experience working in Indian country. So we're talking to them and sharing ideas about reforms that can be made to direct more capital to Indian country through CDEs that have a primary mission of serving in Indian country. That also means talking to members of Congress and their staffs about it, because ultimately this the CDFI fund is part of the executive branch, and the legislative branch of government is there to help, you know, provide oversight and make sure the programs are being run as they should. So there's a huge role for congressional members and their staffs to play in this process. That's probably what's most important, because I think the CDFI fund takes their mission really seriously, and that they do understand the system that they're working within, and that they have a lot of respect from and good relationships with members of Congress. So for tribes that people who, if you're watching this podcast and you work for a tribe and you're saying, wow, what's something that we could do to increase the amount of money that's flowing to Indian country through this program, get with groups that are already working on it, like the National Congress of American Indians and the Native American Finance Officers Association. Or if you're already working with a lobbyist who helps you manage your interactions with the federal government on a range of issues, start to get that person interested in this topic, because when we say to members of Congress whose districts include Indian country or senators from, you know, Western states, Great Lakes states, there's a lot of recognition that, yeah, you know, having 2 years in a row where no one focused on Indian country is getting an allocation is not good enough. You know, I think that everyone recognizes that in the grand scheme of things, $5 billion is kind of a limited amount of money. And that's going to mean that there will be certain communities that don't get what they need in a given year just because of the limitations on the math of the program. But most of the people we talk to on the Hill recognize there needs to be some certainty that a certain amount of allocation, kind of a minimum amount of allocation, is going to Indian country every year, because the economic problems that Indian country faces aren't tied to the ups and downs of the economic cycle. They're tied to these structural factors that are centuries old that prevent tribes from accessing capital in the same way that private companies or private real estate development businesses, or even some nonprofits that are based in bigger cities, those groups can access money more easily than people who are living in rural native communities can.
Definitely. And I mean, if you're not allocating funds to specifically, let's say, like Indian country, how do you expect them to ever break out of any kind of cycle or anything like that? And I mean, like, hello, you know what I mean? I mean, we've worked in Indian country, so we know. I mean, you know what I mean? I've got boots on the ground and I've been out there and I know what, you know, their infrastructure looks like and what's lacking and so on and so forth. So yeah, I mean, come on, let's allocate to them specifically, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And so I think one thing that we've tried to do is we need to be real with people about the problems. You know, we need to be able to share the data on unemployment, and we need to be able to show the data on, you know, some of the substandard quality, some of the housing that's out there, and the really unfortunate gaps between non-Indian people and Indian people when it comes to health outcomes. You know, we need to be direct with people that, yeah, there are real problems. But, you know, I try to remind myself, we also just need to mostly focus on sharing the positive stories that are out there, because tribes clearly have demonstrated capacity to pull off major large-scale economic development projects in a very wide array of industries. And for any member of Congress or person who works at the CDFI Fund who wants to know more about those things, we're happy to share all of these positive stories of things that are already happening at a smaller scale that we believe that we could grow to a national scale if there was some certainty around Indian country getting a lot of access to new markets tax credit capital every single round.
Amazing. Well, now that we're on this subject, can you talk specifics about the types of projects that won't be able to move forward without the ability to leverage new market tax credits?
Yeah, unfortunately, I kind of know a lot about that lately, because we have projects that were part of our application pipeline last year when we did not receive an allocation that are struggling to move forward and seek access to capital now. It is difficult for community facility projects that are the centerpiece of affordable housing neighborhoods to get bank financing, because these are not revenue generating businesses. These are community spaces that earn lease revenue from tribal programs that operate out of them. So it is hard to get a bank to finance, you know, say up to 80% of a facility like that, and then have the other 20% come from the tribe, because since it's not a gas station, it's not a gaming facility, it's not a grocery store, it's not a Subway, it's not some of the more successful kind of foot traffic driven businesses that you see in Indian country. Those community facilities are, some of them either aren't moving forward or they're costing the tribe more because they can't get access to any markets tax credits. So we're seeing that. On the healthcare and the behavioral health side of projects, we're seeing projects. It's not like they aren't going to happen anymore, but there's a recognition that they're going to take longer. And then that's causing them to have to go back and have discussions with the Indian Health Service or with the other agencies or entities that are providing the funding for their healthcare development. So we're really always trying to work with people to make sure that the lack of new markets tax credit allocations or the insufficient amount of allocations isn't causing people to just abandon their projects plans and just say, we're killing this, we're not doing it. But just to think of this more of a multi-year cycle. Okay, there's going to be another round of applications due later in 2022. Those funds will be available in summer of 2023. And when you really start to think about it, that's going to be here before you know it, and just really try to keep the momentum going.
No, it's important. I think, you know, like you said, like remaining positive and just not essentially like dropping the ball. I think because a lot of the time it's very, it can be disheartening, because there are just sometimes where, you know, you're like, I really want to serve my community, but, you know, there's that lack of funding, or, you know, the bank's not going to loan me this or whatever it is. But like you said, it's just important to remain positive and maybe stay in contact with, you know what I mean, like your organization and just, you know, not lose the faith that it will get done and you will have your project. Because look, like you said, there's other organizations, there's other tribes that have been able to complete, you know, certain projects and so on and so forth. So.
Right. And there are projects that are taking longer now for reasons that don't have anything to do with the availability of tax credits, just as a result of construction input price increases that are part of this inflationary environment that we're living through, which is going to be, we all hope, temporary, but could last multiple years.
Crossing my fingers it's temporary, because it's crazy. Cora's recently trying to purchase a home, and the lack of housing that's available is just insane. So I can only imagine, you know, elsewhere as far as getting things done.
Yeah.
If a tribal community is ready to take that next step and start the application process, and they just don't know where to go, who at Travoy can they reach out to just get the ball rolling?
They can email me anytime, pglynn@travoy.com. They can email Adam anytime, arose@travoy.com. If you're out there and if Travoy has worked for your organization in the past, really anyone you know at Travoy, if you call them and say, hey, I want to talk to the right person about this, they'll find their way around to me or to Adam probably. But if it's been a long time since you've spoken with anyone at Travoy, or if you've never spoken with anyone at Travoy, Adam and I are the people who would love to hear from you, hear your story, talk with you about, you know, the possibilities for the future. And if New Markets Tax Credits is one of the things that could help you get where you're trying to go, then we have a lot of people who just do nothing all day but get really excited about how to structure tax credit transactions. And all the stuff that other people find really boring is stuff that we absolutely love to do and we get excited about. So
I've seen some of those. I mean, I've sat in plenty of Adam's webinars and I'm like, these numbers, I don't get it.
I know. And those numbers fill him with joy and excitement.
Yeah.
It's just, there's people like that out there in the world, you know?
Yeah. All right, Cora.
I don't have any other questions. Crystal, do you have any other questions?
Nope, we're good.
Bill, any final commentary for our listeners?
No final commentary. I mean, this is I feel like we're emerging from a really sad time and a really difficult time. I think we're emerging into a really exciting time where there's so many opportunities to do projects that can transform communities. And I think the New Markets Tax Credits will be a relatively small part of that, but should be a really important and a key part of that. So the really fun part of my job is when people call me to tell me what they're doing, it's like I get to pick up the phone and hear a story about somebody who's really passionate about their community and is ready to make something great happen. And so I'm just, if there's anybody out there that's got a story like that to tell, I'd love to hear it.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today and for sharing all of this knowledge. I surely didn't really understand everything that went into it, but you were extremely thorough and I appreciate it. So I'm sure our listeners appreciate it too. And that brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Hope Within a Podcast. If you liked it, please like, share on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and watch out for new trainings on our website, www.nativelearningcenter.com. And please check out our YouTube channel. We are releasing content in previously done virtual trainings on our YouTube channel. So please go to YouTube and look up Native Learning Center. So thank you once again, Phil. It was lovely speaking with you. And
thank you.
We will hear you guys next week.